Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, refreshing outdated bathrooms into modern indoor retreats. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. This week, folks in the St. Louis region will get a chance to experience something unique to St. Louis, the world premieres of three works submitted by librettists from across the country, commissioned by Opera Theatre of St. Louis, and performed together in an hour-long program. Now, what makes this all unique is how these operas have come to stage. They're part of an initiative called the New Works Collective, which comes out of Opera Theatre of St. Louis. The word collective describes the diverse group of local community members who've reviewed and selected the operas being presented. It also captures the spirit of what the initiative aims to change about opera in St. Louis and in America. Here to talk about those goals and what audiences can expect this week at New Works Collective performances at the Center of Creative Arts, we have Nicole Freiber, Managing Director of Opera Theatre of St. Louis. Nicole, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, did I get those goals right, Nicole? Talk with us about them.
Yes. You know, Opera Theatre has been commissioning opera almost since our earliest years, our early seasons back in the 70s. And with the New Works Collective, what we're really trying to do is to welcome new voices to opera, both as creators, but also as decision makers. And that's the really innovative part of this initiative, is that we have put our decision-making power in the hands of the St. Louis community.
Mm-hmm. Now, the New Works Collective is now entering its third year. How long did it take to go from idea to initiation, and what was that inspired it?
You know, as I said, we've been commissioning for so long, and we've really been thinking about how do we disrupt our usual creative practice? How do we think differently about taking the skills that we've acquired as a company in terms of developing new work and putting those to work in a different kind of way? And I think we've seen with earlier commissions how exciting it is to have someone like a Terrence Blanchard write an opera and what that means in terms of audiences who feel welcome in our space when they come into something like that. So with the New Works Collective, it happened in opera terms. Things are very slow usually. So New Works Collective feels very fast in comparison.
And if this is something you've not sort of talked about enough, the inspiration for it, I mean, why is the New Works Collective so necessary, especially here and now in American opera?
Well, we believe opera is a living, breathing art form. And as we think about the storytellers we work with and the stories we want to see on our stage, we also need to think very carefully about the decision makers. And so we really wanted to make more room at our table for decision makers who reflect the rich diversity of St. Louis. And I think we've seen over this three-year cycle that when we change the decision makers, we also see the decisions are different. And it's been wonderful to be in the room with those decision makers and to hear more about how they're thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, in 2023, that was when the first group of New Works Collective operas were presented. And those three were Slanted, an American rock opera, Cook Shack, and Madison Lodge. And then in 2024, the New Works Collective presented Unbroken, Mechanisms, and On My Mind. So you talked about decision making. How did decision making come into play, in real life around real tables with the selections of those works?
It's a great question. I think what we heard over and over in those selection meetings with the collective was that the collective members were interested in very different things on stage than we typically see in the opera world. Opera has a lot of drama, a lot of tragedy. And our collective members said, we don't want to see trauma on stage. We want to see joy. We want to see love. We want to see empowerment. And as you look at the through line of the operas across all 3 years, I think you really see that. You see characters who are embracing their power, who are in charge of their narrative. And we definitely see that with this year's stories.
Mm-hmm. And how are these decision makers or the members of the collective selected?
You know, we in 2022, as we were starting to launch this process, we started to reach out to colleagues in the arts world, and we basically said to them, who do we not know who we should know in the arts world? We don't want sort of the usual arts leaders sitting at the table making these decisions. And we came up with a wonderful mix of, there are a few musicians in that mix who know something about opera, but a lot of people who are would claim they have no knowledge of opera, although I would say that's untrue after 3 years.
So to bring it to this year, two of this year's operas are Family Style and Kandake. Family Style is about Mia, a Taiwanese-American girl, and her single father, and it explores sacrifices they make for each other. And Kandake is based on the history of an ancient Kushite queen who successfully defended her kingdom from Roman invaders. How is it, Nicole, that these operas, not only in their subject matter, but who wrote and composed them, how do they expand upon the Newark's collective's work and its goals?
I think they continue this idea of one bringing relatable and topical stories to our stage. In one case with Kandake, we're bringing this wonderful moment in history that so many of us didn't learn about in school, but we're now seeing on the stage this fabulous warrior queen, the true story of that. And with Family Style, we're seeing, again, a story that so many people can relate to, the daughter who dares to apply to a school that she doesn't think she can get into or afford. And her father says to her, you know, it's okay to fail. You just have to try. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we can all relate to.
Yeah. And how is it that these works speak to St. Louis? You know, what is their relevance to the people who make up the St. Louis area?
Well, I think that comes back to the collective, just the fact that they are selected by members of our community. These are people sitting next to us in the audience. So they're really evaluating these stories through the lens of what do St. Louisans want to see on stage. And in Family Style, they've actually set this piece in St. Louis, so it takes place in St. Louis. And with Kandake, our composer, Timothy Amukale, is from St. Louis as well. So he's been thinking very carefully about that. And as we've done community work, we've really been in different parts of our community bringing these pieces to St. Louis community in different ways, through churches, through Chamber of Commerce events, all kinds of things.
Now, the third opera in the season's New Works Collective is called Black Coffee. And this is just a bit of what audiences will hear when it's performed this week. And that is an excerpt of what will be heard in Black Coffee, which is one of the New Works Collective's plays or operas, that is, for this season. The librettist of Black Coffee is Alicia Reveille-Like, and she's here with us as well to share more about this work as well as her experience with the New Works Collective. Alicia, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
So first, tell us a little bit about what we've just heard and how it reflects what it is you were hoping to put forth with this opera.
Yes. So Black Coffee is about a young girl. She's not that young, but a young woman named McKenna, who has recently moved to St. Louis. She's been here about 5 months, and she still does not have a community, a village, friends, a network of people that she goes to. And so we're following this journey of how do we actually make friends as a grown-up? And nobody knows. And I think that's the best answer, is that nobody knows, but we're all out here trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I asked Nicole some moments ago about the, you know, the specifically St. Louis relevance of this season's New Works Collective. Is that, and you know, your own experiences of St. Louis, part of what motivated you to write Black Coffee to begin with?
You know, I think this is something that honestly started as the whole post-pandemic world that we're still trying to piece and put together. And it is this idea of, we love coffee shops. We love being in coffee shops. I live in coffee shops. Millennials and Gen Zers legit live in coffee shops. You can pick any coffee shop in St. Louis right now. It'll be packed with students. And so we hang out there, but then also, we're having meetings, and it's just such a good place. Coffee is also warm and comforting, and so there's this theme of what coffee actually means to McKenna throughout this journey. And I just honestly wanted to talk about something that I know people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the friends in my life, and how do I get them?
Uh-huh. And you are a transplant yourself to
yes.
St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much of what is in the opera, in what you've written, is taken directly
yeah.
from your experience? And then how much of it really did come from what you were hearing from fellow transplants, particularly those who are adults?
Mm-hmm. It's here and there. It's not autobiographical. I will say it again. It's not autobiographical. The costumes on stage, do they look like something I wear? Yes, but it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure about the conversation about friendships, and then my church began to talk about it. Like, they did a whole sermon series. I started reading books about it. Podcasts were talking about it. And, yeah, people in St. Louis want to find that space that they can call home. And I think that's what really drew my eye. But only part of it is about me, little glimmers of things here
mm-hmm.
and there. But most of it literally is just about the conversations that I heard around me
mm-hmm.
about forming these communities.
Were those conversations, did those include folks who are talking about the New Works Collective? Did you happen to see any of the previous operas that are part of this initiative? How did you get clued into this?
So part of the process was that as being chosen for 2025 Newark Collective, we got to see last year's. I also got to see the first year as well. And Opera Theater does a great job. You can go to their website and watch these performances and see what has been made. Also, I know some of the members of the collective. I knew someone who did the first year, and they thought, you know what, you should just give it a try. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, give it a try. Choose to be open.
Yeah,
it'll make
yeah.
sense when you come see the opera people. But yes, it was one of those things where I'm just going to see what happens. And I applied, and I got chosen, and
yeah.
it's been this beautiful exploration for me as an artist this
mm-hmm.
whole time.
Yeah. We're speaking with Alicia Reveille-Like, who is the librettist of Black Coffee, which is part of the New Works Collective season this year. We're also speaking with Nicole Freiber, who is managing director of Opera Theater St. Louis. Nicole, is what Alicia is talking about as far as people talking with each other, was that also part of what you were hoping to see happen with this initiative?
You know, a big part of this initiative was how do we become more connected to St. Louis and to St. Louis artists? And I think the collective has helped us with that in so many ways because they have networks that we didn't previously have. So it was funny as we were in a recent meeting with the collective, they said, well, this just is starting to get traction locally. Like people locally are just starting to figure out what kind of opportunity this is. So I think it's been really interesting because there's so many perceptions around opera that I can't do it. I don't know what it is. I can't even understand it. Mm-hmm. Why would I go to it, much less write it? And so we're just trying to like remove every barrier with this process. And the collective members were really smart, I think, in the very first year about saying, okay, don't make that a requirement. Don't make this a requirement. Mm-hmm. Open it up as much as you can.
How much of those barriers were part of what you experienced yourself in coming to know opera?
Oh, I think there's, you know, if you don't grow up with opera, it feels like a very foreign concept. And Alicia actually has spoken about this, what she thought about opera, you know, as a younger person.
What did you think?
Yeah, so I definitely thought opera was not for me. I didn't like opera and opera didn't like me back. And that was the relationship we had until I went to college and I had a professor convince me to do the opera scenes. And then I was like, oh, this is just like the grandfather of musical theater. You all have tricked me this whole time. I love this. This is great.
The composer of Black Coffee, we're talking with you as the librettist. The composer is someone who's a native of Blackjack, also a concert violinist and a music educator, and that's Concert Black. So I understand that you and Concert, Alicia, were put together, you were paired by the New Works Collective to create what audiences are going to experience this week. But your own experience, you know, working in concert with Concert, what was that like?
It was mind-blowing and honestly, one of the coolest things ever. We should have met years ago as artists in St. Louis, and it took this project to put us together. And we know so many of the same people. Mm. Concert Black is extremely smart, extremely intuitive when it comes to music. And exploring the sound of Black Coffee, he did an amazing job. So yes, this whole process has been fun to get to know other artists and then to create art specifically for St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Talk with me a little bit more about getting to know others, because Black Coffee is one among three works. What did you learn? What did you really enjoy about the other two works, Family Style and Kandake?
So Kandake, off rip, brings the drama of opera to a level that I don't even think opera is ready for. So I have loved watching them explore the dramatic space musically, but also in a minimalistic way. It's so interesting how they play both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. And then with Family Style, it has really challenged me as a librettist, how I set the words for the story. And also both pieces push me to think about how opera can be used to uplift and shine on specific cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Because the artwork that they've made is so good. And their partners, they've worked with each other before. So watching their process, and then for me and Concert Black being the noobs on the block, learning so much just of their process and what they're creating. And then they also make us feel like we're not crazy. So that's the best part.
In the creative process, sometimes there are things that don't quite go the way that you anticipated. Were there any of those moments that you had to work through?
Plenty.
Yeah.
There are absolutely plenty. The process itself is not long. We had, I think, 10 or 11 months. So we got 1 month shorter than the other two cycles to write and create. Yeah, exactly.
That's a month.
Lot of time. That's 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Four weeks we didn't have. And you know, the learning curve for me in Concert Black of just trying to figure out how we work. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing, you know. Then you bring in other production members, like you get a director, they have ideas. You have a costume person, they have ideas. So being open to those ideas while also saying, if you're really in love with something, speak up and advocate for yourself, mm-hmm. but hear the other team members out because that's their expertise and they're supposed to bring something.
Mm-hmm. At this point, what is it that you are proudest of? And this is obviously before you've had a chance to see audiences engage with what you've made. What is it that really stands out as being the thing? Like, I am glad that I just tried this beyond, oh, I made it.
Literally, that's it. Okay. I'm so proud to say I am a librettist of an opera. I'm a Black woman who lives in St. Louis, who wears funky colors and crazy patterns, and I have a commissioned piece by a respected opera house. And I've made art. Like, mm-hmm. that's, little Alicia would have never thought this was a possibility.
Yeah. Nicole, I use the word unique in the way that it is by definition. It's just one. And I understand that what the New Works Collective has set out to do is a first of its kind, and that it is not being done this way elsewhere. Mm-hmm. How is it that St. Louis is making a mark in a really important way with this initiative?
You know, this is not being done in the opera world, but it's not being done in the performing arts world. I mean, as we look at symphony, as we look at dance, the decisions are awfully often made by a very small number of people, and there are lots of good reasons for that. There's all kinds of expertise and skill that our artistic leaders bring into these conversations, but I think so often the audience is not a part of that equation. And so the more opportunities we can do to have audience members at the table and to give artists an opportunity to have talented artists like Alicia who say, you know, I'm an opera librettist now, that's something that I think we're uniquely capable of doing here, just mm-hmm. with our experience commissioning and the incredible support of this community for new work.
Mm-hmm. So what is ahead for this initiative, Nicole?
So this is a 3-year cycle that we're in currently. This is year 3 of 3. We've been so incredibly fortunate to have the support of people like the Mellon Foundation, the Edward Jones Foundation, and PNC to invest in this initial sort of pilot phase of the project. And so now we're trying to figure out what comes next. We've seen the impact of this work. We believe in the value of this process and the learning and the adaptation that we've gone through this cycle. So now we're just trying to figure out, how do we make this sustainable? How do we find St. Louisans who want to invest and continue this work so that we can have the resources to support artists like Alicia and the cohort that we're working with this year, mm-hmm. because there's such value in that.
So the will is there. It's about
the will is absolutely
what's in the
there.
Wallet, so
yes.
to speak.
Opera is expensive, no yeah. matter how you do it.
Well, and if there is maybe an audience member response that you have received that really illustrates that you have made this pilot do what you wanted it to do, is there something of that kind that you can share?
You know, I think we saw that actually in year one. We had at one of our talkbacks in year one, we had an older woman who came to the microphone and she said, you know, I'm a public school teacher. I was going to retire. You know, I've just had enough. And I am so inspired by this work and by the value I see in bringing new stories to the stage and making sure that we have room for all the stories. Mm-hmm. And that I want to keep teaching just after having seen this work tonight. Okay. And I think we hear that time and time again with audience members.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us to talk with us about the New Works Collective. Nicole Freiber is Opera Theater of St. Louis's Managing Director, and Alicia Reveille-Like is the librettist of Black Coffee, which is one of the 3 operas part of the season's Opera Theater of St. Louis New Works Collective. For information about the New Works Collective, which will be presenting its 3 20-minute world premiere operas this week at COCA starting tomorrow. You can visit opera-stl.org. There will be information there about tickets as well as other details. And that will be starting tomorrow, Thursday, February 6th, and each evening through Saturday, February 8th.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.